program. We're interviewing Mrs. Cagle.
Yeah,
your first name?
Goldie.
Goldie Cagle.
Yeah.
And the interviewer is Myron Lazarus. And you said, Mrs. Cagle, you were born in Russia.
Ukraine.
In the Ukraine. Do you remember the city?
Yeah.
What was the name of the city?
You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't spell it. Kurilovtsy. You know what it is? Chicken lovers or chicken thieves. One of the Kurilovtsy.
Uh-huh.
Can you, you want me to spell it?
All right. Okay.
K-U.
K-U.
R I V Curry Ben. I have to say Curry L O V I T Z I. Curry Lovtsy.
Yeah. Was this near any large city?
Yeah, near Mogilev Podolsk. Kamenets Podolsk, between town. When I was there was Kamenets Podolsk. When I left I heard it was Mogilev Podolsk, between two large cities.
Uh-huh.
And not far from Odessa.
And not far from Odessa.
Yeah.
There are many people in this that I met that are from Odessa.
Well, they say that's from Odessa. They're not.
No.
That was the Jewish people, you tell them every father was a rabbi, and they all lived in big cities.
Odessa.
Odessa. I had two brothers, they studied in Odessa.
Uh-huh. What occupation was your family?
My father died when I was a young child, I was a year old. My mother used to buy corn, wheat, you know, from the farmers in the summer and sell it to them back in the winter.
Was that right?
It's true. They needed money when they gathered the crops.
Uh-huh.
And my mother kept it in the winter time. They needed it. They came back and bought it. We dealt with the flour life.
Uh-huh. Oh, that, did she have a granary, a grain?
No, we didn't have a granary. We had a store in the in the basement. We had a store for all kinds of corn, wheat, all kinds of
In a way, you were lending money on the security of the grain, was that it?
No, we didn't
lend. No, you actually
didn't
bought it?
Just some had too much, didn't need to come, some were short, came to buy.
Uh-huh, I see.
It's not
was there any other, your mother did this?
My mother, then my father died and left my mother with three children. I was the youngest one and that's how she made a living. And she also bought wood to sell it in the wintertime. We had a place in the back for her. And she bought wood from the woodsman by the wagons and then she sold it partly. In the wintertime, they came back and bought it.
Did you receive any education in this area?
What? In Russia, I went to a Hebrew day school, the Talmud Torah. And they studied their Hebrew as and Russian as a language, as a side language. But then when...
What age were you when you went to the Talmud Torah?
I started as a kid, you know, I started there. Usually they don't start at 5 or 1, I guess, but they start when a mother wants to send a kid.
That's right.
So when I guess my mother needed me out then more than she made a living for us.
Because people start at any age, 3, 4, 5, I've heard all kinds of ages.
Yeah, they usually they start when...
You didn't go to any public school of any
kind? I went there to, afterwards I went to gymnasium, and I finished on the third, I went to gymnasium.
Gymnasium.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
How old were you when you went to the gymnasium?
They don't start by when you finish when I finished Talmud Torah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They sent me to, I had a chance to go to the gymnasium.
But this wasn't Jewish sponsored any, this was the government.
No, this was already during the, after the revolution. When I remember during the revolution, we sat in the Hebrew classes and when somebody knocked at the door, we had our books and it had Russian books on top.
Uh-huh.
I still remember that.
What do you remember of the revolution?
I remember more that my brothers talked about it than than I knew about it. And our city was like a main road. It had a road that all the soldiers had to pass by when they retreated from the small, or they advanced, they had to pass our little town.
Otherwise, going to the front in the west.
Yeah, and retreating back.
Going back from the west.
Yeah. So I remember all the pogroms as a kid, and I remember all those.
Now the pogroms.
The Nikan, the Tura. I don't know if you heard about it. All the bandits. They thought they'll the Ukraine nationalist.
Uh-huh.
Tura.
You talk about the pogroms. Now, this was after the czars.
I know, but while the revolution was on,
yeah,
in the big cities,
yes,
the little cities suffered a lot from bandits from the surrounding companies. They and they still we had pogroms all the
But these were bandits stealing, right, during the war when things were upset.
Yeah.
This wasn't organized by the government. This was
Well, Petura, the Ukraine nationalists, but Petura, the Nikans, they were supposed to be government, but they never succeeded.
Uh-huh.
That's they tried to free the Ukraine from, but they never succeeded.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of this organization you were talking about? They were trying to free the Ukraine now.
Petura. You never heard Petura?
No,
Denikin? Denikin, Petura.
Denikin.
Denikin,
yes.
You heard. Petura was one of the. They used to say that the son Denikin runs away and the father Petura runs after. And that's what. It was little organized groups that every month somebody. Somebody came to, and in little cities they murdered and robbed and every month.
But their object was to make the Ukraine independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To free the Ukraine.
Well, your brothers, how were they involved in all this?
My brothers were most of the time in Odessa.
Were they going to school there or working
there? They were in the gymnasium. Communist government came to our city. My brother came. He was a history teacher.
Yes.
He was for them a Hebrew teacher, and they gave us land and everything. But I don't know. Jewish people are not
farmers. Yeah. Though there were plenty of.
They were, yeah. But I don't know. My mother. We had no father.
Yes.
And my younger son was too young. The older brother was the teacher. When they gave us,
land,
we had nobody to work it.
Now, who was giving the land?
That was already under the
communists.
Communists.
And they were breaking up the big, large
land
holdings.
They broke up the big. We had a lot of rich landowners. They took and they gave it to my brother because he was a teacher for them, a history teacher.
How about the other brother?
He was young too. He was in Odessa during. He went to work as a baker.
Uh-huh.
He came in the United States. He got in the bakery too, and he's retired now. And they were both there, and they were under starvation. They would have starved there if he would not gone to work. So he went to work in a bakery. He was a healthy husky fellow. He went to work in a bakery. He made.
What was the date? Do you remember generally?
No dates. I don't remember dates. I don't.
Well, this is when the Russians were.
That's already under
the communists.
That's already after the revolution.
Yes.
They were, and then my mother decided that she don't want to stay, and with the two sons growing up and.
Yeah. Did you have any sisters?
No.
Yeah.
We had a cousin organized from United States. He was sent as a delegate to the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go to Ukraine. He stayed in Romania.
He was a delegate?
Delegate said? From our Landsmarsch. You know what the Padole. No. The Padole, it's not the family. It's from the Padole Guberni, from the other, or from that place. They sent a cousin of mine to study what was going on in Europe.
And he was in Europe now?
He was in Romania.
Romania.
My brother heard that we have a cousin in Romania, and he was a delegate from
your area.
From my area, from our area. One night, my mother took a torn tablecloth and made him a pair of shorts. And with this cloth, with this on him, he went to Romania. And my cousin took him to Philadelphia.
Hmm.
And he's the one, after being about 5-6 years in Philadelphia working, he sent us money to come over there. And we couldn't come, our visa was, we had to leave Russia during the night through woods, through water, through, and we went to Romania.
You didn't have a passport, otherwise.
No, we didn't have. I was
dressed. You stole your way to the front.
I was a young kid, was dressed for an old, old Romanian woman. Going, and my brother was supposed. We were supposed to go on a wedding, to get married, to enter Bucharest.
Okay.
So I was dressed like an old Romanian woman. My brother was a young man. I was supposed to marry my oldest brother.
Uh-huh.
Dressed as husband and wife. To get married, and that's how we entered Bucharest.
Your mother went with you?
My mother was with us.
Was this your brother who was the baker who came?
No, this brother is in Montreal, Canada. I have a brother in Montreal, Canada.
This was your brother who was the teacher then, who had come to Philadelphia?
Yeah, he was the morning teacher, and he was, he's now in Montreal, Canada.
Mm-hmm. And you went to Romania, and
we lived 2 years in Romania.
2 years in Romania, Bucharest.
Yeah. It was very miserable because we lived, we had a brother in Philadelphia, he didn't make too much. But my brother gave Hebrew lessons a little bit. And of course we lived like animals in a small, one woman built little square, little cubics, little rooms, and she rented for, and we lived 2 years. That was my worst period in life.
Uh-huh.
Living 2 years waiting every day to
leave.
To enter the United States. So still the quota was closed and we went to Montreal, Canada. That's I have a brother still there.
Now how did you get from Romania to a seaport?
In Constanza, the Jewish immigration helped us out.
Uh-huh.
The Jewish Ayas helped us out, took us to that application that my brother to come and be a Hebrew teacher.
Uh-huh.
He was sent to a town and he was for a while there. Then we had a friend, a rabbi, a landsman. He knew my father and he took my brother to a
from
to
where was this?
That's landsman from Montreal, from Ukraine yet.
Uh-huh.
He took my brother and he recommended them to work in a store.
Uh-huh.
He's still working there for 45, 50 years. He's still there. Still
one brother is working in a store, another, you said,
I have two
was
brothers.
Going to be a rabbi.
Yeah, but he did not.
He
was supposed to be a Hebrew teacher, but he's not. He's working in Montreal as a manager in business.
Of a store?
Yeah, also
private. Now, what seaport, I mean, where did you get the boat?
Constanza. You know, Constanza. That's in somebody told me that's not true, and then they found out that is right. Constanza, the seaport from Romania. We slept 3 nights outside on the
boat.
On the beach.
Oh,
when
nice.
But to wait for the boat to come in.
What was it? A large boat?
No. It was a freight boat.
Uh-huh.
Cunard Line.
This was not a passenger boat.
No, it was a freight boat, but they took some.
How was it? Do you remember the trip?
I remember the first one to get sick.
You were the first one to get sick.
I was the first one to get sick.
Where did you, was it many people in the rooms or?
No, it was, we had a cabin, me and my mother and brother, we had a cabin, but it's not, the thing is you don't know no language, you don't know where you're going, who you, we were supposed to go to my brother to Philadelphia, but that's quota closed and we turned to go to, and they took us to Montreal. That's what our, the old disappointment was.
You were supposed to go to
We were supposed to go to Philadelphia, at least to see a brother, it's different that they go to Montreal and not knowing nobody. No language, no nobody. So
how did your mother make out in Montreal?
Well, we grew up and we worked and we made a big mistake. We never trusted my mother wanted to go and do things, and we were European. It's a shame, a mother to work. It's a disgrace in Europe.
Uh-huh.
And me and my mother.
Well, when she landed in Montreal, I mean, where did you go? I mean, you didn't know anybody.
But that's what it is. But you suffer. You wouldn't understand these things.
Right.
That's why I didn't want to talk about it. Sure, it's miserable. You're living. But we heard people talk Yiddish. That was a great relief. walked in the streets of Montreal. You still won't come into Montreal. I go to visit sometimes. And I hear them call each other and talk Yiddish, and I thought it was beautiful. That's how we...
And this is how you got settled.
We got acquainted with others. When I walked in first in the street, I pulled my brother, who they speak Yiddish here. It was to me, and a nice episode happened to us. We were in Algeria, where that ship was a cattle ship. It traveled around all over. In Algeria, we stayed a couple of days. On a Friday night, we saw a Jewish synagogue. We stepped over there.
This was in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Right.
And I had a Mom David on me, a Jewish star.
Yes.
And they didn't know a word, but Shema Yisrael, but that's how we knew that of course we knew that's a synagogue with the Mom David on there. But they started to talk to us, but only they think, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Echad, and that's how we got acquainted. We knew they were Jewish. We couldn't talk their language, and they couldn't talk our language.
How long did you stay in Algeria?
We stayed a couple of days there. That was Trump, the boat leaving us off a couple of hours to go.
You said this was a cattle boat?
Probably, I don't know, it was a... I remember the ship...
I've heard so much about the cattle boats, but we haven't interviewed anybody who came over on a cattle boat.
In fact, I sent a wife from there to find out. I didn't know how old I was to send out to that ship. So I remember the ship. I forgot now.
That's
I remember the ship.
Now, how did you actually make a living in Montreal?
Well, that's how I started to go. What does a girl come does with the without a language? I went to learn how to sew. I went to a shop and I learned that.
But you say your mother didn't work.
We were at a European idea,
right,
that it's a shame for a mother to work. And so she stayed home, and I remember my brother made $6 a week, and I made $5 a week, and my mother still saved a dollar or two in the bank to go. I can't understand it now.
There was one brother with you.
One brother, the oldest brother, we lived in Montreal. So my brother went to work and he got $6 a week. I went as a seamstress and made $5 a week. And my mother was a rich woman, getting $11 a week to make a living from. And she still had a Shabbos meal, and somehow she managed.
What was your brother doing?
I'm telling you, my brother was in a store. He got a rabbi, Hirschhorn, he's still in Montreal. He took him and he recommended him. He said, this fellow I know, take him in the store. And so he started from sweeping the floor, a messenger boy. Now he's managing the place. They want to get rid of him already. They want to retire him. But in Montreal, I think you can work after your...
Do you remember the name of the store?
Schechter Wholesale Drivers.
It was a wholesale.
Wholesale drive.
It wasn't retail.
No, it's wholesale drive.
Do you remember the year you came to Montreal?
I don't know what one.
Well, she said she was 12 years old.
I don't know exactly when I came to Montreal, but I know I lived there. Then I came to visit here, and I met my husband, and settled down here. So we were all scattered. I'm rather Montreal, rather Philadelphia. I'm here.
How long did you before you met your husband?
Yeah.
How long were you in Montreal?
About quite a while, about 15 years, or about 29 years ago, I met my husband and I.
Now, how did you manage to meet someone? Was he from Wilmington?
My husband?
Yes.
No, I came to Chester, Pennsylvania. I have relatives. They have a store. My husband worked there, and they had the general store. She said, go down and sell.
So you went to Chester?
That's a cousin of mine, she said. And I met my husband was working there. And we argued about the movie. I asked him last night, I thought you were coming, if you'll ask me this question. Something Dr. Not Zhivago, that's something. We saw the same picture and we start arguing about
Dr. Zhivago, you talking
about? No, that's an old, something, a doctor, I don't know what, and we start arguing about it, and that's how we met. he was a bit different opinion, and I was a bit different opinion. We argued all day long about it. He was supposed to be managed the hardware store, and I was supposed to sell dry goods. It wasn't too busy that day, and we argued all day about the picture.
Was he born in this country?
He is born in America. He's born. Do you know about Philadelphia, some things?
A little bit.
He was a student in Girard College, if
oh,
you
yes.
heard about it.
Oh, yes,
him.
Definitely.
He was, he lost his parents when he was 4.5 years old, but he was an orphan. So they, his grandfather put him in Girard College, and he graduated Girard College.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out of Girard College.
And then he got involved with this hardware store?
Yeah, when he got on from the Girard College, a salesman recommended him to work for my cousins. And they still have a big store in the Marcus Silk General Store, So he was there, and I came to visit them. They were from the same, they came a couple of years before me.
That was a long trip to go from Montreal to Chester, but that was because
well,
you had family.
Because I had family. I lived for a while. That's what Jewish people are. They're traveling. They're,
You came to Chester pretty much because you could make a better living in Chester than Montreal.
No, I just wanted for, after I lived a few years in Montreal, a cousin came to see us, and then I returned, came to see them. She first, when we came to Montreal, she came to see us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a few years later, I came to visit them. It's just...
Did you receive any education in Montreal? You said you...
Oh, yeah. I continued with the... I know a little bit Hebrew more than most of... I went to...
Well, this was from the Talmud Torah you learned here.
Yeah, but here, too, I still sometimes gather with some people. I belong to a Hebrew-speaking group. Hogi Ri, I don't know if you heard of it. And Dr. Birnbaum used to... you heard about Dr. Birnbaum?
Yes.
And...
well, you continue your Hebrew education in Montreal. Did you?
I continued in English too. I went to
did
nice
you go to the public school?
I went to night school. See, I lost, but the worst part of my life is that I lost 2-3 years in Romania. And there I couldn't go to school. But I continue. I went to night school. I went to night school here, to Wilmington High School here. I went, and my husband is nice. He's American born, if I ask him something. And you know, when I went to night school, when my two sons grew up, and I felt then that something is missing, that I need more education. I went to Wilmington High School.
Now, how did you get from Chester to Wilmington?
We got married. My husband got here a hardware store. We have a paint and hardware store. It used to be a hardware store. Now it's all paint. 28th and Governor Prince Boulevard, maybe you need pain.
So he started business for himself here in Wilmington.
Yeah, he got rich. We were both two poor people, and somebody, he saw it in the paper that the store is for sale. And a salesman recommended them to go and see the place. I was never satisfied with the money still.
Now, where was the place now? What's the address?
Now, 28 in Governor Prince.
I know, but where did he start?
He started first in a small hardware store and,
Was it on 2nd Street?
No, Vandiver Avenue. Vandiver Avenue. In Lamont, I think it was near that George Gray School. And I raised there two nice sons. And I was miserable being in the back of the store. And
you lived in the back of the store.
I was miserable, hard.
Well, I noticed that you either lived on top of the store or in back of the store.
I lived worse. Half
in the store.
In the store, I was up. They needed me down. I was down. The children were burning something upstairs. So the, And then he changed.
And you have two children.
I have two nice sons. One married in Philadelphia, psychologist working for the state of Pennsylvania. And one, Alan, is going to the University of Delaware. And working the first summer for, he was 3 years in the Navy. And he lost 4 years from high school to college, but he started college again. I was very glad to see him going back to college. He took some classes on the boat.
Then now he moved from your husband's business was first on
Vandiver
Avenue and then on Governor Prince.
Yes,
how long ago was it on Governor Prince?
About 8 years ago. Now I wish we can get out from there.
Why?
I don't know. It's a lot of he had a lot of trouble. He was beat up a couple of times. It was robbed.
It's kind of a lonely.
All his customers moved away. There's always stores building, new stores building up in the, customers wouldn't come, and then they moved out in the suburbs. They'll have stores right near them. And then,
instead
a few loyal customers that they'll come for a special color or what, but it's not as I would like to see it.
Did you belong to any organizations other than, let's say, being a housewife and helping?
I belonged all the time. I belonged to a Jewish organization.
Which ones?
Bnei Brit, I belong to Adassa, I belong, I took Hebrew lessons with Mrs. Gewurz. You know Mrs. Gewurz?
Yes.
Till about a year ago we separated. We about four or five women used to, and men used to meet once a week in
This was the Hebrew-speaking group?
No, this is separate.
Oh.
This was,
okay.
I took Hebrew lessons, but I joined the sisterhood of from Addis Kodesh. So she was teaching a group of women. Some of them turned to be Hebrew teachers, and I was with her till about a year ago. But this Hebrew-speaking group is entirely, it's on the 30th year. I didn't belong 30 years, but it's going to be a celebration this year because they are 30 years of existence.
So you speak Hebrew?
I speak a lot of Hebrew. I speak Russian, I speak Hebrew. I still speak Russian.
But the Hebrew, you didn't learn in Russia. You learned that
in Russia I did. I went to a Hebrew Talmud Torah.
And they spoke Hebrew?
Oh, that's all. Everything was in Hebrew. They don't believe it. It's unbelievable. But everything was in Hebrew. And Russian we had as a Russian language.
That's interesting because usually in Hebrew schools, they didn't use it as a language. They used it to read, not to speak.
No, that's a different.
Yeah.
Hebrew, Talmud Torah is entirely different.
Uh-huh.
It's you start from the beginning and you continue everything. I knew everything, all the flowers and all the, everything was, I knew it. But, and we had Russian as a Russian language. But then the later one, the communists didn't like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it to a Russian school. And from there, they had the gymnasiums, and they had you could enter any school you want in Russia. Because my brothers went to Odessa to the gymnasium from that school.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pick up where you got your Hebrew language.
I was born into a Jewish and Hebrew language. In the streets, they talked to Ukrainian and Russian. I picked up all kinds of languages.
Mm-hmm.
I was 3 years in Romania, two, 3 years in Romania. I had to learn to speak Romanian. Otherwise, I was lost, a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
We had to learn something, but then I forgot it again.
Mm-hmm. Is there
so
any?
Are
there any other organizations that you feel loyal to, or you're very much interested in?
I belong to the Adassa.
I
belong to the sisterhoods. I sometimes go to a Friday night service. I helped them out for a year.
Well, you belong to Addis Kodesh.
Yeah. So.
And do you remember much of Vandiver Avenue, what it was like when you first came into Delaware? Do you remember the date, possibly, that you lived
I
on
don't remember that, but that was our first store there, but I've been to my children 30, and I know one thing, it's about 30 years ago. About
30 years ago.
And I didn't like it.
Well, you didn't like the store situation.
I didn't like the kind of a store it was there, because it's not, we were poor, we couldn't go and buy a decent store, so we bought somebody schmatas, you know what it is?
Yes.
I'm ashamed to be here recorded. I mean, somebody's junk, and it didn't turn out right.
Do you notice any changes in Wilmington or the Jewish community from when you first came to Wilmington and
care program.
Today.
I like Jewish people. I like the Formation people. I like the people I know. I have nothing in my life.
Well, I want to thank you very much. And how would you like to hear yourself?
I want to tell you that was the worst part of it. That the people in the neighborhood, a girl was killed.
Now you're talking
she
about
was shot.
The pogrom in Russia
before,
under the communists.
Before, during the revolution. It didn't work out one night that the communists were there, but during the, we were months without government. We were every bandit, as they called themselves, they were a government. The Ukrainians, the Petlura, the Nikin, there's so many, they called themselves a government, but they didn't last long.
Now, you know, usually when people will talk about pogrom, they talk about organized raids on Jews, usually by the initiated by the Tsarist
government.
Yeah,
we had this, and we had the from
the bandits.
Bandits in the woods. We were Ukraine has got a lot of woods. We had a lot of problems. Just the organized soldiers that ran away from they left behind the Ukraine. They left behind the government, and they just were a group of bandits. They were from the Ukraine. They were from somewhere, not from our neighborhood. They were somewhere else, but they were still attacking Jewish people.
But were they attacking others besides Jews?
Mostly they were
attacking
Jews.
What do you remember of them?
I remember that one night a neighbor started to scream, and then we heard a shot, and a girl was killed. They attacked her.
They came in on horses, or?
They attacked her, and she started to scream, kill me, and they shot her. I mean, then she was one daughter in the house. And just remember in the morning, the whole city crying to a funeral from an innocent girl getting killed. A cousin of mine was shot. So these things are just, I don't want to remember them. When you just told me, and you'll talk to me about it, I begin to cry.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Mrs. Cagle. We don't...